Well, 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 it is so good to be back on the microphone and to have all of you here again. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the first episode of The Found Generation, a podcast for young people. Today's special episode is dropping on Thursday, but moving forward, I'll be releasing new episodes every Wednesday, 5 a.m. Eastern Time, 2 a.m. Pacific Time, and on these podcasts, I'll have conversations with people who are mostly in their 20s, sometimes older, sometimes younger, but no matter who it's with, I guarantee it will be a conversation that provides great value to all young people out there as we navigate this tumultuous, confusing period in our lives. And that begins with today's guest, Jasmine Noonan. Jasmine is a good friend of mine. We went to college together in upstate New York, and we've stayed in touch a little bit throughout the years. She currently lives in Miami. She has a massive social media following, big on Instagram, even bigger on TikTok. And as you'll hear in our conversation, she is really happy with where she is in her life. But I can tell you this, it was not an easy road to get there.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's so great. I really enjoyed it last time, so honestly, whenever you want to have me on the show, I'm happy to be here because it's a lot of fun for me.
On one photo, you had a caption, quote, "couldn't have asked for a better life." I loved that. That was from last summer. And on social media, as you know, there's a lot of fake people. There's a lot of people who are portraying a perception of themselves that other people want them to think. They're just catching a miniature snapshot, a 0.01 second of a 24-hour day that makes it look like everything is perfect. And so, I can kind of see through the BS. I can tell when people like that person's not happy. They look happy in that photo, but they're not. You, on the other hand, though, I genuinely think that you just love life. That every moment, obviously, you have down moments, I'm sure, but that, by and large, you are happy. You are loving life. You are grateful for every day that you have here. So do I have the right read on that? Are you as happy as you appear to be?
For sure. I would say, yeah, like you said, social media is a snippet. I mean, I'm a human. I have all of the human emotions. I go through bad days and stuff like that. But I have really done my best to be really grateful, and it really has changed my life. So I'm at the point now where I'm honestly, yeah, my life is the shit. I look around at I live in a great place. I have great friends, a great boyfriend. I have great family. I really couldn't ask for better. I truly am genuinely grateful for what I currently have, which I think is really nice. I mean, obviously, there could always be more. You could always be better and everything. But yeah, I would say I am genuinely happy in my life right now. And I have been for a while now. So I'm happy that you can see through the bullshit and you do think I'm genuinely happy, because I say I am.
So you are a human being. And so, you do experience down emotions sometimes, and you probably complain a lot. I mean, we all complain a lot from time to time. I've got a great life as well, and I catch myself complaining, and then I always kind of have to stop myself in my tracks and say, Troy, be grateful for X, Y, and Z that you have, because there's people around the world who would kill to have what you have. So right. When you catch yourself complaining, what goes through your mind?
So kind of those same thoughts. Not even there's people around the world who have it worse. But almost just kind of all right, Jasmine, yeah, whatever, this situation sucks, but you're not going to die. It's going to be okay. Let's stop complaining. Just because I do feel when I complain, it just doesn't feel good. Nothing about complaining makes anything better. It almost just kind of drags out whatever negative situation there is. So I'm all right, what is complaining going to do for me? Not much. So that's what I do. Like you said, in my head, I'm all right, Jasmine, or even out loud, I'm Jasmine, stop complaining. There's no reason for this. Whatever it is, the situation, you're going to get through it. It's going to be fine. And I try to just kind of take it from there. But I mean, like I said, we're all human. It's okay to feel negative emotions too. It's not it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
I'm a go-getter. I love life. I told someone recently, I hate sleeping because I just love living so much. I spring up out of bed every day and I'm ready to attack the day. When you first wake up, what is your mindset?
It's funny you say you hate sleeping because you have so much to do. I always joke, I'll sleep when I'm dead. If there's something fun to do or something that I'm going to enjoy, I'll lose the sleep for it. But when I wake up in the morning, usually I wake up pretty positive. Sometimes I don't, but I'm always kind of new day, whatever it is I have to do that day, I start myself off I do a nice meditation. I eat, give myself some breakfast. I drink some tea, and then I'm ready to start my day pretty much.
So what are some of your self-care tactics that you use?
Meditating is huge for me. If I do start my day off on the wrong foot, like I'm feeling anxious or stressed or whatever it is, meditation like literally just grounds me, puts me back to normal. If I'm starting my day and it's great, it just makes it even better. I'll sit out on my balcony. I'll show you. This is my new balcony. And I just sit out there. It's pretty loud. There's cars driving by. There's airplanes flying by. There's kids screaming and whatever. But it's really nice to just sit out there and meditate to like get my day started.
So meditation is something that, you know, I read a lot about the world's happiest people or most successful people. And meditation is a common thread for all of them. And I've kind of gone like in spurts over the past few years, going in and out of phases of doing it. It sounds so easy, right? It's just you alone in a room, just your thoughts, quiet, peaceful. And yet it's maybe one of the hardest things in the world to get a good grip on. So how do you go about meditating?
It's actually really not easy. It's pretty hard, especially because like our minds are like the only place that we exist, right? Like everything in the world is our perception in our minds about it. So there's a lot going on in your brain. So the whole point of meditation is to basically like clear your mind, focus on your breath, and be completely present. And any thoughts that you kind of have when you're meditating are usually not present thoughts. Like it's not like, if I'm meditating outside, I hear noises, like those are present thoughts. Oh, I hear an airplane going by. That's a present thought. Oh, I feel the wind blowing on my face. That's a present thought. But any other thoughts that pop up, which are most of them, are like, what am I doing later? Or, oh, I was so stupid when I said that thing in that conversation that one time. Or like literally random stuff will pop into your head. And so it really isn't easy. But the whole point of meditation is to not judge yourself for the thoughts that come into your mind. Basically like, okay, I'm acknowledging this thought. Like, yes, what you're doing later is important, but it's not happening right now. So let's not judge ourselves. Let's let the thought pass and then get back to what you're supposed to be focusing on, the breathing. So it's pretty hard, but for me, it's really, really enjoyable and really peaceful.
That last part that you said is probably the most important part, and probably what stops a lot of people from continuing to meditate who begin it is that judgment, because everyone thinks that I'm not supposed to have any thoughts. If a thought enters my mind, I'm doing it the wrong way. And so then they beat themselves up and never return to it, which is unfortunate. Like, I mean, I'm definitely guilty of that from time to time. But meditation, if you get it down or just learn how to forgive yourself for random thoughts, it can be wildly beneficial, and the benefits are amazing for you physically, intellectually.
Yeah, the judgment part is actually like my favorite part about it. So I've done a lot of yoga and a lot of meditation, like led by teachers and yoga classes and stuff like that. And the part that always sticks with me the most is the don't judge yourself for it. Like there's no reason to, you're a human, you're not perfect. You're not just going to start meditating and be perfect at it right away. So the judgment part is really nice because it's like also someone else telling you like you don't have to judge yourself. It's okay that you had the thought. Like knowing that and feeling comfortable and confident in that fact makes me want to keep doing it, because I'm like, it's okay. I'm just a human. I'm doing my best. Yeah, I had a thought that like popped into my head while I was meditating, but it's okay. Like I'm a human being. Like it's actually good that my brain is working. You know what I mean? So it's pretty nice.
So you said that you have a lot more free time nowadays. Why is that?
So I quit my like 9-to-5 corporate job last summer. I've been just like pretty much bartending ever since. And I just have a lot more free time that way. I don't have to wake up on a certain like daytime schedule. And I'm only working like a couple nights a week usually. And other than that, I'm kind of free to like do whatever I want pretty much.
Why'd you decide to quit?
So my job that I was working, it was great. I loved it there. I made a lot of good money. But they did want us to go back into the office. And so when I actually decided to quit, it was because I finally paid off all my debt that I had. I had car debt. I had like a lot of student loan debt. And I was lucky enough to have a really good job that I saved up enough money and I paid off all my debt. And I didn't really have anything like binding me to that job anymore. And especially since I was living in Miami and I was loving it so much. And I love the freedom of not having a 9-to-5, that I decided it was time to quit. Great company. I loved them so much and they served their purpose for me, but it was just kind of time to move on to the next chapter of my life.
What did your friends and family and people in your inner circle think when you told them that you were making that decision?
A lot of people judged me for it because it was a really good job. Like I made really good money. I was making 6 figures. So people were like, why are you doing that? Like, it's kind of stupid. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But like my whole life was kind of surrounded around, like I knew since I was 14 years old that I was going to need to get into college, get a good job after college, because I knew I was going to have college debt because I didn't really grow up with money. So I had to pay for it all myself. So it was kind of like work really hard in high school so you get into a good college, and then work really hard in college so you can graduate a year early so that you don't have as much debt, and then work really hard to find yourself a job, and then work really hard at the job and bartend on the side and do all these things. And I was doing so much, which was great, but I finally reached a point where I paid off the loans. And like for me, since I'm 14 years old, I'm thinking like student loan debt, student loan debt, student loan debt, and now I don't have it anymore. So like I kind of was, I'm almost at a point right now where I'm like, okay, like what now? Like, I don't really have like anything keeping me. I did all the things you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just thought it's time to be a little bit more free.
So since age 14, you've just kind of been doing and going and going and going all the time. Like, and now it's kind of hit a standstill. How is that sit for you?
It's kind of uncomfortable because I am someone who is always doing a lot. Like even when I was in high school, I was like something after school every single day. I always played sports. Same with college. I was on the cheerleading team. I worked on the side in college. I had class. Then when I was in the working world, I was working my full 9-to-5, but then I was also bartending on the side. So I've kind of always been go, 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 like work. And it was always like work too. It was never, I mean, I was always having fun while I was doing it, you know, but now it kind of got uncomfortable when I quit that job and I've just been like bartending and kind of like figuring out what I want to do next. It is a little bit uncomfortable because I'm like, my whole life up until now was focused on that one thing, paying off the loan debt that I knew I was going to have. I did it way earlier than I thought I was going to. So I'm kind of like, okay, like now what?
So kind of on the judgment with the meditation, are you trying not to, as someone who's been a high achiever pretty much her whole life, are you giving yourself some slack for this and like allowing yourself to, hey, like you have grinded for decades and now you're just kind of trying to enjoy life. Like, are you able to like not beat yourself up over the fact that you're really not accomplishing so much anymore?
Yeah, for sure. Like I actually have had like friends and my boyfriend, even my parents say like they kind of admire that about me lately, that I'm not being hard on myself, because like the meditation actually really helps with it, is like I can find peace in just what's happening right now. I can find peace in the present moment. And right now the present moment is pretty like chill. There's not much going on. And I don't really... Not that I don't care, but I'm not putting pressure on myself to be this high achiever at the moment. Like, I don't, there's kind of like more important things to me right now than a career. It sounds kind of bad, but like.
Like what?
Yeah. I don't know. Just like my own, working on my inner self, like working on relationships with my friends, my family, my boyfriend, like. The most important thing to me in the world is like other people and relationships with other people, connections, that kind of thing. Like I just really enjoy like living life and like admiring the beauty that the world has to offer and the magic that the world has to offer. And so like I did feel like working so much, I didn't really have time for that. Like I didn't really, it wasn't really top of mind. It wasn't really important. And now it really is.
So what do you think is next for you?
So I kind of have a couple things going on right now. I did take the time. I've kind of always wanted to do my real estate license. I've always been a bartender, and it was a big theme in the service industry. A lot of people got their real estate license too. So it's been on my radar for like years now, and I finally had the time to do it. So I'm taking my real estate course right now. The Florida market's great, so I'm excited for that. But also I'm kind of trying a new thing where I'm going to try to make money and monetize my social media, which I'm just jumping into like probably the last like week or two. So it's all very new and fresh, but the most important thing for what's next is having the freedom to do whatever I want. I like to travel. I like to spend time with friends. I like to have new experiences. And the way I make money from now on, I'm going to choose to do it in a way that gives me that freedom.
So you found that the 9-to-5 lifestyle did not allow you to live the kind of life you want.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and no judgment to people who do it. I did it for a long time and it really was great for me. I was able to get ahead in life a little bit. But yeah, it doesn't feel right for me. I like being a lot more free and having a free lifestyle, spontaneous lifestyle. So yeah, not for me, I'd say.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you said that. And in this generation, and the pandemic kind of accelerated it, you know, we are learning that we can be like you, you know, someone like you who doesn't need to work a traditional 9-to-5 job. You know, you can make money and other, like you can pay the bills, bartending, pay off debt, doing all sorts of things. But then you can like actually make an actual living on social media or starting your own company, or like you don't even need to go to college anymore because there's so many opportunities that the internet has created, and that you don't need that traditional middleman anymore. You don't need to spend tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars going to school anymore if it's just not for you. And so that's what I find to be so empowering about being a young person these days, is that we're not beholden to that old school way of thinking. You need to work a 9-to-5 and you need to have a 401k, you need to hate your life for 5 days a week.
Right, exactly. And the judgment with it was kind of hard at first, but the best part is that like my parents really supported me. They knew that I wanted to quit my job, and they really supported me in doing it. And I think they supported me because they know that I've always been a doer myself. I've always figured it out for myself and got shit done. Like, I think even they were shocked I paid off my loan so quickly. So my mom said that, like, you know, her coworkers or whoever would be like, well, why is Jasmine doing that? And she's like, she's doing her own thing. She's got it figured out. She's a very smart person. She's a very, very capable person. So a huge, like, good thing for me was that my parents supported me doing that, because I don't know, without your parents' support, it kind of sucks.
Hey everyone, it's Troy here. Just want to take a quick pause in the action with Jasmine. By the way, I mean, how amazing is she? Walking away from a six-figure career to go try to have one on TikTok, that's amazing. I don't know if I'd had the guts to do that. Shout out to Jasmine. We'll get back to her in a moment. First, I want to tell you about something that is really special to me. So over the past few years, I've put out tons of blogs, podcasts, and videos on the side outside of my jobs at ESPN and freelance and Spotify. And while I've received a lot of praise for some of my creations in the past and I've enjoyed doing them, I never quite received the amount of love that I am receiving right now for the writing that I'm doing over on my Substack page. For those of you that don't know, Substack is a subscriber-supported site that allows writers to make money from the words that they write. But the thing with my page is, it's totally free. F-R-E-E. I'm not asking for anything. Now, there are paid options that some people already have signed up for, but trust me, you do not need to sign up for that. So if you could, a free subscription to my page, troyfarkas.substack.com, would mean the absolute world to me. The link to it is in the show notes of this episode. All that will happen is you'll put your email address down and you'll get sent my new post the second that they are published, and that will probably happen 2 to 3 times per week. I write about a lot of the same things we discuss here, life in your 20s. Sometimes I make it personal, but most of the time I like to keep it to stuff that applies to all of us. So if this sounds at all interesting to you, or if you just want to be a good human and support independent creators, please consider subscribing to my page. Podcasting is my job and it's fun, and I love hosting this show and can't wait to see what the future holds in store for it. but it's the writing that I put my heart and soul into, always have, and always will. And it would mean the world to me if you supported. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now back to my conversation with the lovely Jasmine Noonan. Like you said, you're going to try to kind of take that next step with your social media accounts. So you've got a big following on IG. You've got a really big following on TikTok. And that's kind of where most of the attention is right now. And so this is actually perfect that you're kind of just starting to try to figure out how to level up there. So where are you at in the process right now of trying to start to monetize that account and make an actual living on it?
Yeah, so it's still very new. I think the big thing right now for me is just like putting out content, making videos that are, genuine, just me, whatever. The videos that I post are all silly, funny shit anyway. It's not me being very serious. But I think the big thing is, you know, putting out a lot of videos, getting more followers, that kind of thing. And also getting in contact with brands. I've worked with a couple brands before. A good amount, I'd say, but it was normally just for free stuff, not necessarily getting paid. I've been paid a few times, but now I need to focus on like, I'm going to have like certain rates for like certain different types of videos, or if they want me to do an ad for them or that kind of thing. So I'm kind of just getting it all figured out right now. I finally created a new email just for that. I'm going to create like a media kit, it's called. It's basically just like a photo of you and your information and, you know, your engagement, your followers, that kind of thing. So I'm really in the very, very beginning stages of it, but.
So with brands that you've worked with in the past, can you kind of take us inside the conversation? Like, what is that like? Who reaches out to who? What is discussed in it? How do you figure it all out?
So I've worked with a couple, for Instagram, I've reached out, like, I've had random times where I'm like, all right, I'm going to reach out to a bunch of swim brands and see if I can get some free bikinis. So I'd reach out to some swim brands and they'd be like, yeah, sure. What's your size? Which one do you want? And they just send it to me. And it was actually like way easier than I thought. But also they weren't paying me. They were just giving me a free bikini. They expect to post on Instagram for it. And that was kind of it. Then there was one like wine brand that I made a TikTok for. This was like probably a year ago almost. And they actually had a whole call with me and they let me know like what kind of video they wanted me to make. And they wanted it to be genuine and align with the kind of videos that I make already. But obviously like they told me like what color they wanted me to wear in the video. And like, they wanted me to mention the name of the wine and that kind of thing. So I think a lot of it will be more like phone calls with brands and then like us discussing like creatively, what kind of video are you going to make? What's going to look like? That kind of thing.
So with your account, and I read, so like I somewhat work in this industry in social media, and so the advice that's given to people who are trying to grow their brand is like, choose a niche, choose a lane, identify your audience, and just continuously serve them. So I'm kind of curious, like, what is your, for someone who's never seen your TikTok page before, like, what are you trying to accomplish with your videos?
So the funny thing is I was never really trying to accomplish anything. I started making TikToks in quarantine because like when COVID first like started and it was like no one was leaving their houses, like me and my roommates were just like fucking around and making funny videos. And I thought it was really fun. So I just kept on doing it. Like I would spend my time, a lot of my time scrolling on TikTok and just watching videos. And then if I saw something that I thought was funny or maybe think of an idea of something that I thought would be funny, I would just post it. Like there, I never really had any sort of like plan for like, I'm going to make this type of TikTok and I'm going to attract this type of audience. I was just like posting stuff that I thought was funny.
Yeah.
And somehow like the good thing about TikTok is your video can blow up and you can wake up one day with 250,000 followers, which is kind of what happened to me. So I don't know. The target audience is kind of unclear even to me. I'm just posting things that I think are funny. And if they stick, great. And if not, whatever. But it seems like they've been sticking so far.
What does it feel like? Is there a rush that goes through your body when you see 400,000 people or whatever higher number have viewed this video?
A little bit. I definitely think it's like, oh, shoot. Like, that's kind of cool. But, like, I don't really put that much, like, I don't know, of my happiness into it. Cause it's like, it's social media is weird. It's fake. It's like, it's really a weird concept to me. So it's not like that top of mind. You know what I mean? I'm like, when I see that a video is doing well, I'm like, awesome. Like, this video is doing well, but I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. Now, I guess it's more, since I'm going to start like trying to make money and everything, it matters if my videos make like go viral or whatever you want to call it. So now maybe I will feel a little differently. But at first I was just kind of like, oh shit, like my video blew up. What's going on here? Like it was very weird. I was never like trying to go viral or anything.
TikTok really is crazy. Never before has anything ever existed like this. I mean, I'm thinking back to, you know, companies in the 80s who were trying to sell a product or sell a service. They had to buy ads in the newspaper. They had to, you know, like they were scared to get websites when 1998, when the internet age rolled around. Like it is so crazy how quickly something can blow up literally overnight, and how, yeah, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people will see you or see your product, service, whatever, just like that, and you have no idea who they are. Like, it's an absolutely insane thing to me. And it's insane, like, in watching some of your videos, some of your most popular, most viewed videos are viewed just eating a sandwich, just sitting there eating a sandwich, just talking gibberish. It's ridiculous. And you can actually make money off that.
Yeah, and that's what I think is awesome about TikTok. Like, I don't put much effort, and I don't know, a lot of people do, and I think it's really cool because some people are really artistic and really good with video editing and that kind of thing. I'm just kind of being, like, posting things that I think are funny, and people think they're funny too. So, you know what I mean? So it is kind of strange to me too, though.
Now, I hope you don't take this the wrong way. So, you know, from our time in college together, I know you to be a very intelligent girl. And obviously, if people have been listening to this podcast, like, they hear how bright you are and well-spoken you are and how much good insight you have to offer. But on TikTok, these strangers don't know that. They probably think you're just like some dumb, attractive girl who just like doesn't work or do anything with her life. So how does that sit with you, knowing that that's how the vast majority of your viewers probably view you?
Yeah, they totally do. And at first I was kind of like, hey, what the fuck? Like, you don't know me. How could you say that about me? You know what I mean? But I started to just realize, like, first of all, there are like billions of people on the internet. They're not all going to know me. They're not all going to know me personally. And what they choose to see and look at is kind of up to them. I mean, yeah, I could post videos of me. I could post this on my TikTok and let people see that side of me, which I probably will. But at the same time, if people are choosing to just think like, oh, this is just some dumb idiot like bouncing around on TikTok, it's like, okay, cool. You can think that if you want. Like, I have so many people in my life, and, you know, friends, family, like whatever it is, who know me and who think I'm a great person. And I really don't need to prove myself to anyone online who's like hating on me in my comment section. It's just kind of silly. At first, it really did make me upset, but I know who I am. I know I'm a smart person and I'm a capable person. And I think it's even a bit of a sign of intelligence to joke around and not take yourself that seriously. Yeah. So people who judge like that, I almost feel bad for them.
I scroll through some of your comments that you get in some of your videos, and, you know, you reply back to a lot of them, and like, they might hate on you, and then you just say something hilarious in response to it. Just that goes to show that you don't take this seriously at all, and that they're just like, it makes you look even better.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like, okay, first of all, the comments, like, I'm not really trying to let it get to me. But also, I'm not going to let you shit all over me in my comments and not defend myself. So I'm just going to reply back with something that I think is kind of funny. And most of the time, they'll even reply back again and kind of, not all the time, but sometimes they'll be like, oh, like, that's not what I meant or something like that. And then a lot of them end up following me after that. So then I'm like, you know what? I don't know. The moment that you show that you're a real human being on the other side of the screen, people kind of, I think a lot of people are like, oh, why did I say that? Like, that's a real person. Like, maybe I shouldn't have said something like that. You know what I mean?
For sure. Now, you made one video where you referenced that you were blowing up on creepy old man TikTok. I have not reached that part of TikTok yet. What is that?
So I realized with a lot of my videos, okay, I have a very womanly body, right? But I also live in Miami, Florida. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sit here and be in a turtleneck on my videos that I'm making for fun, which sadly, a lot of people, you know, sexualize women. And I wound up having a lot of followers or people seeing my videos who were literally creepy old men. And they were commenting creepy stuff. And it was like getting weird. And I was like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want my videos to just be shown to creepy old men. Like, what? Yeah. I don't enjoy this. So I think it was just like the way that the algorithm works. Like, I'm a cute girl. Creepy old men follow cute girls on TikTok, I guess. I don't really know. But yeah.
Yeah. Does that weird you out at all that there's so many people that you don't know that just see you just as some hot chick on TikTok?
Yeah, it did. It does weird me out a little bit. But I don't know. The things I'm posting online are not very provocative. So I'm not really asking for it. Like, I am so sorry that I am a woman with breasts. Like, I don't know what to tell you about that. But, like, I'm going to still dress the way I dress in real life, which is I live in Miami. I wear bikinis all the time. I'm wearing a tank top right now. Like, I'm going to still do that. And if people choose to be weird and creepy, they're weird for that. It's not, I don't know. There's not much you can do to control it either, which kind of sucks.
So we spoke pretty much a year ago, on the last episode of the podcast that we did. A year from today, where would you like to be in your career and in your life?
I think it would be awesome to make enough money on TikTok to not work a regular job. That's the goal for sure, because I love traveling. I'm young. Like, I don't have kids. This is the time that I want to be running around the earth, like going to new places, seeing cool things. So I'd say a year from now, I'd hope I'm doing that. And a good way to do it is by making money online so I can make videos wherever I am and
absolutely
have fun while I'm doing it.
So you actually brought up something earlier, you know, the reason that you were primarily able to quit your job, your 9-to-5, is because you had made a bunch of money and were able to pay off all your loans. Now, this is something that, I mean, our generation is more in debt than any other one. And so there's people right now, people that I know, and I read articles and stuff all the time about how in debt we are and about how we're just drowning in and trying to figure out how to get out of it. So I'm really curious to know kind of what your strategies were for being smart and being financially responsible to ensure that you could get out of that mountain of debt that was facing you so that you could then go have a more free life.
Yeah. So I worked two jobs. I was working like a corporate 9-to-5. I worked a few of those, a few different companies. And then I would also bartend. And I would say, like, when I was bartending on the side, it would be probably twice a week, usually maybe three times a week. At the real grind time, it was sometimes five times a week. But I would say I used a lot of, like, my bartending money as my, like, spending money. And then I just was lucky enough to be working a really good job that I made commission and bonuses at. And so I did sales. So I made huge chunks of money every month, and every 3 months was bonus. And so whenever I got those bonuses, I would literally just put them straight into a loan. Like, it sucked because people, like, at work, everyone would be like, oh, what are you spending your bonus on? And I'd be like, I'm putting it into my loans. But it sucked for a while, but then it really didn't suck anymore when I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to pay any monthly, like, bills about loans, like, none of that. So I would say, like, a lot of it, I totally worked hard. I'm not going to say it was luck or anything, but I found myself a really good job and was lucky enough to, you know, it be a commission-based job where it was kind of like the work I put in, like the sales I was making were the money I was getting out.
So what would you say to someone who, you know, isn't fortunate enough to make six figures, is maybe in like the 50 to 60,000 range, and doesn't, you know, isn't making as much? What would you advise them do to you know, make sure that they can just kind of chip away at those student loan debts?
Well, don't take my financial advice, but what I did when I wasn't making commission like that is I did work two jobs, which sucks, and not everyone can do that. So I wouldn't say work two jobs. Work, do whatever you can. Your mental health is important. Your physical health is important. But when you do get like a paycheck, pay more than your monthly like minimum payment. Your monthly minimum payment, if you just keep on paying that, you're going to pay your debt off for 40 years. People are old and still, people are 80 years old and still, not 80, but still paying it off. If you do your minimum payment, it's never going to get paid off. There's interest. They do it to trick you. It's really fucked up and wrong. So I would say anytime you get like an extra chunk of money, just throw it into a loan. It sucks at the moment, but then it really doesn't suck when you feel like free like I do.
There was another video that you made, I think, and I actually agree with you on this one, basically saying that there's nothing wrong with being a basic bitch, and then you went into detail describing what a basic bitch actually is. Can you just kind of explain more what you were saying in that video for the audience that hasn't seen it?
Yes, what I mean by that is my take on basic people who are basic, you know, the pumpkin spice lattes and the whatever, doing the basic white girl type things, they're considered basic because they're popular. They're popular because people like them. And I think we should just let people enjoy things. Like, if I see a sunset, I'm taking a picture of it and I'm going to post it in my Instagram story because I think it looks beautiful. If I, you know what I mean? Like, if it's fall and I want to go apple picking, I'm going to go apple picking. Like, that is a lot of fun. Why does it have to be like, why do people have to hate on things that people like? I just think like, it's silly. I enjoy doing all of those silly little things and they bring me a small piece of joy in my life. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like the avocado toast and the taking picture of your Starbucks and all of that. Like, I don't care. I will be a basic bitch till I die.
People think it's cool for hating on something that's yeah, mainstream or popular, and they think that they're holier than thou for denouncing it as dumb.
Just silly to me. Yeah. Like, you're not better. Like, why don't you have fun? Why don't you try a pumpkin spice latte? You might like it.
So my final question for you, and this is something I might do on the podcast or not, I'm not sure. So I just went to a random question generator and found a question here that I thought I'd ask you. How does your definition of a real man differ from society's stereotypical definition of a real man?
Okay, that's funny. My definition of a real man differs from a society definition.
So I'll give, while you think, I'll give you probably like the societal definition of a real man. A real man is big, is strong, he's good with his hands, like he likes to mow the lawn and do the dirty work around the house, and like he cares for the woman beside him, he takes care of her, you know, is the provider of the household, does all those like, that when I think of the stereotypical man, how society views one, like that's what I think.
Okay, I would say, and the societal view of a real man, the way you just put it, all of those things are great. I think it's great to be someone who knows how to fix things, and it's great to be a provider and want to provide for your family and all that kind of stuff. I think all that stuff is great, but I do think that what my definition of a real man is someone who is a real human first, who's in touch with their emotions, can like isn't afraid to be an emotional person, isn't afraid to be soft and gentle when they need to be. Like sometimes when people think manly, they have to be like aggressive and strong and like, I don't know, have no emotions. I think a real man is someone who has emotions. That's like the big part. I mean, all those other things are great too, but you could be a real man and not necessarily be the breadwinner of the household. You could be a real man and not necessarily know how to fix a car. That doesn't make you any less manly. I think you're a human first and then you're a man or a woman or whatever you want to be. But the emotional part, I think that's what makes a real man. Someone who's not afraid to be emotional. Someone who's not afraid to be in touch with their feminine side. Like there's a lot of like toxic masculinity. I think the good masculinity is someone who has a good balance of their femininity as well. Cause we all have both inside of us.
Can you kind of describe what toxic masculinity is for those of you? Because it's a term that gets thrown around a lot, but I don't think a lot of people actually know what it means.
I think what I think it means, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, is someone who, you know, takes all those traits of what a man is supposed to be and then won't be anything else and won't really allow room for anything else, to a point where it gets aggressive or it gets scary or it gets like unpleasant. You know what I mean? Like someone who's afraid to, I don't know, wear something that maybe looks a little bit more feminine, or, you know, people who are sadly homophobic or that kind of thing. I think that's what toxic masculinity is. It's men who are afraid of their feminine side that is inevitably inside of them too. And they just don't want to really accept it. So it makes them like aggressive and scary and not fun to be around.
So, I mean, when our parents are growing up, for sure, and probably like when you and I were growing up as well, still kind of taught that women are supposed to be deferential to men. You know, the woman does what the man wants. The woman follows the man's lead. And so obviously, you know, that gap, you know, as you and I have grown up, is shrinking, and it's now becoming more equal. Do you think the man should now be deferential to the woman, that the man should be kind of like holding the woman up on the pedestal as opposed to the other way around?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I think that in a healthy partnership, you both hold each other up. Like in a relationship, you're supposed to be a partner to the other person. It's not like one person's pulling all the weight and the other person's just there with their feet up. I don't think like women should be in charge of men or men should be in charge of women. We should all just be, you know, respecting each other. I think like a healthy relationship between a man and a woman is one that they both take on responsibilities. They both make money for the family if they can. They both cook dinner. They both clean the house. They both take care of the kids. I think the most healthy possible way for this is both.
Shout out to my girl Jasmine. That was a wonderful answer to that final question, and it was just a great conversation overall. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a great way to kick off this new era of podcasting for me. It used to be the Troy Farkas Show. Now we're the Found Generation. I apologize for the sound quality not being pristine. I'm embarrassed by it. Some amateur mistakes were made on my end, and as someone who works for the world leader in audio, I am embarrassed. Don't tell my bosses over at Spotify about that, please. But seriously, I hope you guys got something from this, and I hope you go support Jasmine in her quest to make a full-time salary on Instagram and TikTok. I've had her on two of my podcasts now, and each time I've walked away with some really great insights, and so I hope the same for you, and I hope that you can go support her, because I truly believe that good people deserve good things. She is good people. She deserves good things, and I hope that you can help her out in any way. Remember to expect new episodes of The Found Generation every Wednesday moving forward. And if you want to support the show, simply head on over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Leave the show a 5-star review. That's it. And if you want to see any highlights from our conversation, or if you just want to get a glimpse of Jasmine and her balcony in Miami, simply head on over to the Troy Farkas YouTube channel. You can also subscribe over there. I'm out for the week, folks. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Jasmine, for joining me. Thank you to the future guests and listeners of this show. I want to leave you with this. Go do something you love. Go do something you love. As long as you are doing things you love, you'll never get lost. Have a great weekend, everyone.